You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's Dr. Daryl Orman with today's message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. His grace is enough. Let's greet each other. Wave at everybody. Fist bump. Hello. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to commit this day to you and ask you, dear God, just to anoint it with your presence and your power. We pray, Lord, that you would illuminate your word in every one of our hearts. And we thank you, dear God, for your wisdom, the wisdom that's beyond this world. We thank you for your economy. We thank you, dear God, for the way you provide. And Father, we just want to ask you, please, to anoint us today with understanding, with illumination. We pray, Lord, that you would just draw us into your word in a supernatural way. And Father, thank you for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the gift of salvation so freely given to every one of us. And again, we just want to tell you we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sophia's going to come share announcements with us.
Good morning. So, as always, if you are a guest, we have a little portion in the sale that we would like you to fill out, and it rips out really easy, and put it in the offering so we can just get to know you a little bit better. Life groups are still meeting every Sunday at 9:15 a.m., and if you come to the lobby, a greeter would be happy to take you to your class. The Brightline train trip is canceled, by the way, unfortunately, so don't show up because no one will be there. The ladies and men's Bible studies are Sundays from 4:45 to 6:15, and the women's is in the fellowship hall and the men's is in the choir room. And I believe there are still workbooks available in the lobby. And for choir practice, it is not 1 o'clock, it is 3:30. So again, don't show up at 1. No one will be there. Please be in prayer for the I Love Jesus offering next Sunday. As you know, it is for the 76 Project, so please be in prayer about possibly donating for that. And oh, and praise Jesus, we caught up a lot of money on our budget last week, but we are still a couple thousand off, so also be in prayer about that. We're almost there, guys. And with that, have a good day.
Test one. There we go. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come out and worship you. Lord, we bless all the people that are here, and Lord, be with all the people that were not able to come today. Lord, we ask you to use these tithes and offerings to benefit you. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew and Rebecca and praise team. This morning when I got in the car to come over for church, guess what song immediately popped up? That one. Praise God. We want to dismiss our children for children's choir right now, our children's church. Maybe they can sing also. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Julia. I want to ask you to pray with me for Pastor Daniel in Brazil. He's a great man of God there in Altamira in the state of Pará, northern part just south of the Amazon River. We've been there and held crusades with him, and he just loves Jesus, tries to win everybody he can to Christ, and he's been diagnosed with cancer. And let's pray for him, if you would bow your heads with me. Father, we just want to ask you, please, to be with Bom Pastor Daniel. We pray, Lord, that you would just anoint him, pour your spirit out upon him, touch him, strengthen him. Lord, if you would, bring him to remission and extend his life and witness here on earth in Brazil. And Father, thank you for this dear brother. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I'd like to speak to you about God's plan for provision in our life. And it's an interesting economy with God. There's always a dichotomy with God in the principles of this world and how they operate. To be strong, we have to be weak. To be wise, we have to become foolish. You go on and on with all of these paradoxes in Scripture. And to have, we have to give. That's one of the paradoxes of Scripture. God says in his economy, you don't just gather everything together. Jack Taylor used to say the economy of this world is get all you can all you get, sit on the lid and poison the rest. And the idea of just greedy acquisition. And in God's economy, it's the exact opposite of that. And so if you've got your Bibles today, I want you to look with me. We're looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it's at the top of your notes if you want to read it with me together on the count of three, or look it up in your scripture, Luke 6:38. 1, 2, 3. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will give, pour into your lap. For by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. An interesting passage, an interesting verse. Now, we know there's the prosperity gospel, and it says, you know, you give and God guarantees he's going to do this or that for you. And that's not really what the scriptures are talking about. The scriptures are talking about the simple process of sowing and reaping. The idea that we sow and then we reap what we sow. We reap more than we sow and we reap later than we sow. And it's a general principle of this world and this life. And so in our passage, I want to start looking at a few of these things that come up. First of all, when we give, we will receive. He says that as he begins the passage, give and it shall be. He didn't say it might be, maybe. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. So the giving and the receiving. In Psalm 37, verses 23 through 26. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I was dumb and... Oh, I skipped over. And when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. And when we think about this idea of giving and receiving, years ago when I was a student at Liberty University, Chuck Milhuff was an evangelist that came and spoke to us in chapel. Do you remember him, Kim? And when he was in chapel, he was speaking. Back then, everybody wore three-piece suits, and he had his suit on, a real nice suit, an evangelist suit. And as he was speaking, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out an ear of corn. And so he was talking about the idea of sowing and reaping and God's principle of that. And so he took out the ear of corn and then he kind of opened it up like I'm doing here and kind of shucked it in front of us. And then he talked about the principle of corn. Now, My dad, he had a farm south of Memphis, a recreational farm, and we would go. One of his crops there was corn. He had 8 acres. He leased 10 more beside us, and so he had a little Ford tractor, and we would plant that. And corn was pretty much every year we planted corn. And one year it was so bad rainy that we couldn't actually pick it, so he pulled the stalks out of the mud, threw them in the back of his big truck. We took them back to our residence in Whitehaven, and we picked the corn in his gravel driveway off of the stalks. And it was an unusual way to harvest. But anyway, so we see this idea of here's a ear of corn. And if y'all want to bring up, I've got a graphic for you. It makes it a little bigger for you. And what we would do when we'd plant corn is he would cut the rows, and then we would put the seed, the corn seed down, and kind of two here, two or three, as we went along, trying to space them out somewhat for growth so we didn't have to cultivate it so bad. And so we're putting two or three of these kernels in a hole and then covering it up with a turning plow and then getting it ready for it to grow, waiting for it to rain and grow. And then the stalks come up. And then on each stalk, there would be sometimes 3 to 8 ears of corn. And so these two little grains, two or three little grains in the ground, produce a stalk that's got anywhere from 3 to 6 or 8 of these on it. Now, here's one ear of corn, courtesy of Publix before the service. And I'm going to count, and y'all help me with the math. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. I hope it's an even number. 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. Good. So, okay, 45 up. And let's go around the bottom here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So how many did we have going up? 45 by 14. What is that number? Someone give me that number. 630? 630. So on this ear of corn, we've got basically 630 potential seeds to grow more corn. Or what I like to do, especially at Sonny's, is stick a stick in each end of it, put barbecue sauce on it, and eat it. But if you let it dry, bring it into seed, we've got, what was it, 630? 630 kernels of corn. And this is just one ear. So let's round it off and say we had a real fruitful stalk with 10 ears. There's 6,300 kernels that came from either one or two kernels in the ground. And so the idea of sowing and reaping, where there is a multiplication effect of what God does as he blesses this. And in Scripture, he tells us that we won't see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread when they observe the principles of God and follow his economy, when they do what he asks us to do. So I'm going to lay this right here. And so we see this idea of we give, we receive, and we receive like, we receive later, we receive more. And then our gifts will be of good measure. He talks about it being measured and the idea that there is a calculated aspect to it. We did math here. That was a calculation, and we came up with 630 kernels here in the measurement of it. And then he says our gifts will be pressed down. They'll be pressed down. And so that's an exciting aspect, too, in relationship to Scripture when he talks about this with Romans chapter 11, verses 35 and 36. Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. And the scriptures say, to him be the glory forever. Amen. So when we think about in our life and the things that we own, the things we possess, there's nothing in our life that we did not receive from him. And that's what the scripture is talking about here in Romans. And it talks about this aspect that for from him, he is the source of all things. Through him, he is the force of all things. And then to him, he ultimately is the end of it. He's the source, he's the force, he's the course of all things in our life. And that's ultimately where it's all going. Now, how many of you have ever been to the funeral of a loved one? Raise your hands. Universal. Okay, how many are aware that when you went to that funeral, your loved one left everything they owned here on earth here? Raise your hands. I mean, we may throw stuff into the casket, but it's not going anywhere. It's like the guy that he owed the old businessman $100,000 and hadn't paid him. And so when the guy died, he wrote a check for $100,000, put it in the coffin. Said, I paid him now. But that check was never cashed. But we see the idea that we don't take anything with us. And so ultimately in this life, everything that we feel like we own right now, we're borrowing. We're borrowing from God. And it will go back. My mother, she used to love to collect things, precious moments. She did the Beanie Babies from McDonald's, had a chest full of those things. The plates, the different collectible plates and all these different things. And, oh, Daryl, you know, we've got all these things and they're going to be worth something someday. And in collectible, they did go up. And now that there's eBay and the internet and Amazon, they're all worth nothing. You know, Hummel figures, they used to be a real sought-after kind of elite ceramic thing. Now they're at Goodwill. You know, you can go buy them there. And this life and this world is like that. And the things that we esteem and the things that we think are so valuable and that are an accumulation of wealth and this type of thing. And so he says that our gifts will be pressed down. Our gifts will be shaken together. Recently, I've been trying to consolidate things in our garage, and I've got several jars of screws, and I'm going to throw away some of the jars. And so I found that if I shake the jars, I can put more screws in one jar and throw some of the jars away. I've done that with boxes of things, shaking those things together, concentrating it. We like to do that with our kitchen to get rid of some of the containers, pour the dressings together, pour the spices together. And, you know, try to throw out some of the containers and kind of consolidate. And it drives me crazy when I'm around people. My dad was like that, where he would have 8 boxes of the same screws there in his shop, in his barn. And I'd say, Dad, these are all a number 6 screws or whatever. You know, why don't you just put them all in one box? Oh, Daryl, you know, that way I can find them. If there's a bunch of them, I can find them. And, you know, but the idea here in Scripture, he says, when he's given to us, it's going to be pressed down. It's going to be shaken together. And then he said, it's going to be ample. It's going to be running over. And I found that in my life. When I give away something, I see so much of it return and come back. I'll give chairs away, and the next thing you know, the neighbors will set some mighty fine chairs out by the curb, you know, or people will bring them over. Years ago, we had a conviction when the kids were very young that we weren't going to have television when I was a youth pastor in Memphis. So we gave our TV away. Within 9 months, we had 4 TVs because everybody at church, you don't have a TV? I'm bringing one over, you know. And the things just, it's like they were like TV rabbits. They were just reproducing in our house. TV in every room and that type of thing. So We see that he says it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over, and we will personally receive the gifts. When you give, you will personally receive. God will personally give things to you in return. Years ago, when I had a real close relationship with Bob Barnes at the Sheridan House for Boys and now Sheridan House for Girls, he used to tell me, he said, "Daryl, we cannot give stuff away fast enough. We're constantly looking for single moms or struggling families, and we're just giving this stuff away and giving this stuff away." And by the way, one of our families just told me this week they've consolidating and they've got a living room set if you need one, and or no, it's a bedroom set and nightstands and all that. So if you're interested, see me after. But this idea of giving, receiving, and these things in our life and how God will provide them. I've got caps. I've got fishing caps and golf caps and hunting caps. And so for a year, I've been trying to give caps away. And I've been giving, you know, these different hats, these caps to people. And I looked the other day, and I now have more caps than when I started giving them away. I mean, they just, you know, it just keeps coming. And so we personally give, we personally receive, and then our giving dictates our receiving. Now, whatever you give with, if you are somewhat stingy, my mother used to love these little spoons. And she got the spoons from all the states and all that. Here's a little gold spoon, far less than a teaspoon. I guess it's a third of a teaspoon or whatever. And there was some even smaller than this that, why do you have a spoon that will hold like one bean, one grain of rice? I mean, I guess that'd be a good diet because you'd get bored eating. It takes so long. But here's a little spoon now. Some people, they're givers like that. Oh, I gave at church at Christmas when I went to the candlelight service. I put a dollar bill in that plate. You know, oh, well, bless your heart. I hope it didn't hurt much. You know, and years ago, one of the men I was talking to, he had been an altar boy in a Catholic church, and this was part of when he abandoned faith. Is he, one winter, he took his altar plate back to the priest after the Mass, and the people had given pennies and nickels and stuff like that. He had a plate full of small change, and the priest just lost it. He just lost it. He grabbed the plate, he ran out into the congregation and started sweeping the change out of the plate, cussing out the people, pelting them with the change. Well, for this young boy, as an altar boy, that ripped it for him. He became an atheist. I've shared his testimony not too long ago, Eddie Good. He became an atheist. He said it's just about the money and that sort of thing. And it just ripped it for him. And I could see why that was a contributing factor. And I told him, that wasn't Jesus. That was just that priest that day. He, you know, he had a bad day. You know, he got carnal. And but that wasn't Jesus, you know. Although Jesus did pelt the money changers, but that's a different story. But we see the idea in relationship to giving. Do you give like this, like a little spoon? I'm going to do a little here and do a little there and, you know, that. Or there's other things that can be done. Maybe you're like, I'm not going to do that, but I've got a shovel. Well, I've got a little hand shovel. I've got a little shovel that I can dig in the planter beside the house, and I'm going to use this shovel. No little spoon for me. I'm a shovel. Well, there's shovels, and then there's shovels. And you may say, well, I've got a big shovel. You know, no little shovels for me. I'm not a little shovel giver. I'm a big shovel giver. You know, and You can get a lot more done with this shovel than you can with this shovel. But this will not work in the planter. Not that I've tried, but I'm sure it won't. And so you think about this and you say, what kind of giving? If you're shoveling grain with this, you're going to feed a lot more cattle. You're going to plant a lot more crops. You're going to get a lot bigger crops, you know, if you're using this to give instead of this. Or instead of this. And so you think, wow, I've got big faith. I'm a big shovel person, you know. I can do it with a big shovel. Well, I want to show you the largest dump truck in the world with a full-size pickup in the back of it. Now, you may say, I'm a big shovel giver. What about the giver that's using the dump truck? Or let's say the pickup, you know. But then there's the dump truck. And you say, wow, you know, I increased my faith, Lord. What can I do? What can you use me to do? What kind of a conduit can I be for you? Well, there's barges that bring over small fleets of those big trucks. So here's this big truck, and then there's barges, freighters. Now, I can't get much bigger than that, you know, when you think about that. Camille, the hurricane years ago, blew a tugboat up in the Gulf, and they left it there for years. And then when Katrina came, Katrina took a barge and threw it right up by the tugboat. And this barge took up a whole city block when it was shoved up on there. So Katrina said to Camille, you think you're a bad girl? Look at me. Look what I can do. And so when we think about this idea of giving, what kind of a giver do you want to be? Do you want to be one of these? Or do you want to be one of those? And when you get to heaven, how many people can you bless with this? And how many people can you bless with that? And we always look at only what we have access to. And I do it myself. We're very conservative, and we believe in balance sheets and the pros and the cons and that sort of thing. But the idea of faith, and I've had people through the years, people of faith, challenge me, say, Pastor, your vision's too small. One of them was Jerry Falwell. I was having lunch with him years ago, and he said, Daryl, what is your BHAG? And I said, BHAG? I don't even know what a BHAG is. He said, your big, hairy, audacious goal. What is your BHAG? And I said, well, I want to help influence 1 million people to know Christ through myself and the people I influence to influence others to influence others. I'd like to see 1 million people come to Christ because I've been here on earth. He said, that's a wonderful goal. Well, we're sitting in this restaurant. He said, look right across the street there. I said, yeah, the Ericsson building, the Ericsson phone factory that was there in Lynchburg. He said, yeah. He said, we just bought that, 1 million square feet under roof. I said, wow, what do you think we gave for it? He said, oh, I don't have a clue. I mean, I couldn't begin to guess. And he said, $8,000. And I said, how did you do that? He said, the owner of Hobby Lobby. They love ministries. They're godly evangelical Christians. And they contacted us, and they bought it for us. And then in the contracts, they put $8,000 on it for us to pay for it. And we're relocating Thomas Road Baptist Church there. It's going to be a major part of the Liberty University campus and all of that. And I thought, wow, what faith, what incredible faith to look beyond what you can do. And Liberty struggled for years with debt, you know. And in fact, they went through a real hard time. And then a godly billionaire gave Liberty several $100 million and paid off all their debt. And in one stroke of the pen. And it was amazing watching all that and watching as Jerry Falwell walked in faith and trusted God and looked beyond what he thought he could do to what God could do. And it's exciting when we step out there and say, Lord, I'm out there. It's like the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. We say that, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? And it's exciting when God steps on the scene and when God does what only God can do, and we have to say, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than what I could do. I couldn't do this. We can't do this, but God can. God can. And so that's really where we're at now, even in this project. This is God's vision. I mean, it's something as a shepherd, an under-shepherd, and a pastor, he's laid on my heart for 30 years here in Stewart, in Martin County, that our church, our ministry, our school need to be on the 76 corridor. That there needs to be a place of faith, a place of redemption, a saving station, a place that says Jesus Christ is resurrected. He's alive. You can know him. You can have him. You can experience him in your life. A place with a school that will teach character and righteousness and morals and love for all people. No critical race theory. No racism of either side. A place that says we understand what God did in founding this country on faith and principles of faith and people of faith that love the Lord Jesus and sacrificially gave of their fame, their wealth, their lives, their sacred honor for this country and for the kingdom of God and for Christ. And so we think about this in this idea of in life as ideas. We pass through this life once, and when we get to heaven, we're not going to look back standing before Christ and say, I left some great bank accounts. I left some great retirement funds. I had some wonderful real estate investments. We're not going to look back on those things, on our accumulations. We're going to look back and say, what did I give for Christ? What did I give for his kingdom? What did I invest in the gospel and the saving grace and the power of God? It's said and it's true that in the United States, the wealthiest country in the world, we spend more on pet food, food for our pets, than we do for world missions. Boy, I don't want to go stand before Christ that way, do you? You know, and so we think about this aspect of life. What is life? What's the essence of life? What's the importance of life? And, you know, what does God want to use us to do? He's given us a vision. He's given our people a vision. Y'all have been giving incredibly sacrificially. We've got another opportunity next Sunday with our I Love Jesus offering. And the Lord had laid on Kim and I our heart to lead out. We're not asking you to do something we're not willing to do. You know, we're going to give $35,000 to it. We've challenged for others to match us. If 10 more could match us, we're there. Now, we recognize that everybody can't do that. We are fortunate. We've sold a house and got some equity. I've got some lousy stocks I want to sell and get rid of anyway. And realize a little bit of a loss, maybe get a tax break also. But we have an opportunity to do something for the kingdom of Christ together. And you say, well, I can't give $35,000. Can you give $3,500? Well, I can't give $3,500. Can you give $350? Can you give $35? I mean, I'll even say, can you give $3.50? And generally people will say, I can't afford to give anything, and then they go to Disney World next weekend. It's priorities. I mean, we went to the movies, some of us here from church, we got the senior discount. It was $9 a ticket, I think, or something like that. And really now I think they're, I don't know, $15 a ticket. And you got to get a car loan to get a bucket of popcorn and a Coke. If you get the big refillables. And then at some of the places, they go stingy on that and they say, I'm not refilling that bucket. I'm just going to give you a little bag. And I said, that's not the deal. Why do you think I gave $20 for this bucket of popcorn? But the idea of investing in the kingdom of Christ and reaching out to do a great thing. And what's exciting about what we're doing is this is not, it has business aspect to it, buying property, those types of things. But it's not. None of us will own it. None of us. Jesus will own it. It'll be his churches. It'll be his, not ours. And we're not investing, we're giving. And we're giving in the kingdom of Christ. Now, here it's giving. In eternity, it is investing. And the interest rate is out of this world. And it lasts forever. And so I just want to encourage you to be next Sunday, prepare your hearts and prepare your gifts. And let's just see God do something supernatural with us. I mean, we're five little stones in David's pocket, in his apron. And we want to bring down a giant. And I think God's going to do it. He's going to use us to do it, to reach people for Christ and to expand. Our school has been capped off here for 50 years. Where it can only grow so high and turning away people and waiting lists every year, almost the entire history of the school. And yet in these chapels, I have prayed and led in the sinner's prayer and heard dozens of children repeating the sinner's prayer asking Christ to save them. Do you think that's happening in our public schools? Yes or no? No, they're firing teachers for putting a Bible on their desk. They can talk about perversion. They can talk about other world religions. But you talk about Jesus, and boy, you're in trouble. Coaches get fired for praying with their teams. Not here. Not here. And so I just want to encourage you as we think about this and as we're pulling our pants up and putting not only our belt, but our suspenders on. And we're bracing to do a great thing for God. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Y'all never fail to deliver. You never fail to step up. And it's going to be exciting. But when we look at this passage, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people pour into your lap. For by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And the idea here, it says bosom in King James. We think of like our chest or our heart. But really it is lap, and it's the idea that they didn't have pockets back then. They were all wearing tunics. And so if someone was going to give them something, like if you were going to go give a friend like a bucket of grain or a half a bucket of grain, so they could go home and make some bread, then they would just grab the front fold of their tunic and bring it up, and you would pour it into their lap if they're sitting down, and then they would fold that up and make a bag with the front of their tunic, a pocket, and that would be the way they were blessed. And if you were super generous, and you were pouring, and you said, I'm not pouring one bucket, I'm pouring two buckets, three buckets. I'm filling your lap till grain is falling off the sides on the ground around you and just blessing you. And this is what God's saying. And it's exciting. It's exciting what God can do and what he can use us to do. But it has to do with our priorities also, as we prioritize what's important in life. What are the important things? And I'm just excited about what he's going to use us to do. The more I'm thinking about things out there, especially some of the temporary things that can happen with us building a temporary tabernacle worship area there before we could get to the big stuff and the other phases, it's just exciting. And when I've shared that vision with others, they've been excited. We've got some young families that are getting excited and interested in this vision, and other people and other things. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. So I just want to encourage you to pray about this, and let next Sunday be a glorious day. We'll have a basket here down front, and we'll have a time in the service where we can come and present our gifts to the Lord. And God is blessing. This morning before the service, $9,000 toward the project came in. And we're just excited about what God is doing. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you so much for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to be involved in your work, your plans, your goals, your dreams, your visions. And we ask you, Almighty God, to give us the faith to step out, the faith to walk in obedience to you. We pray, Lord, that you would use us in a supernatural way for your kingdom and to reach people and to educate and disciple people and train people to love you and live for you and to be sold out to you. And Father, I thank you for our dear people. I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for their obedience and their kindness. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and use us in a supernatural way to glorify you. And Father, if there be any here that don't have a personal relationship with you, they don't understand or know exactly what we're talking about, I pray you'll knock at their heart's door by your powerful Spirit and grant them eternal life. And I want to invite you to just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe you see me and hear me. Please forgive me, cleanse me, and come in my life and take control of me and live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand now and sing, and we want to invite you to come and do business with God today as he's speaking to your heart in this service. And just do whatever he lays on your heart today. Let's stand together and sing, and you come. Please be seated for a moment. I want to remind our men and our ladies that we've got our men's study and our women's study this afternoon. There's still a few workbooks for both available in the lobby, $10 each, sign-up sheets, and want to encourage you to take part in that. And choir practice, 3:30. So if you'd like to be a part of our choir and worship Jesus, they're a great bunch. They'll love you, and it's exciting to experience God's presence. They worship when they practice, and it'll be a blessing to you. And then again, I want to remind you, if you would, to keep Pastor Daniel in prayer with his battle, and just pray for remission for him, he and his family, and for God to continue to use him. Altamira is the largest landmass city in the world. Everyone considers Jacksonville to be that because Duval County was years ago. Jacksonville annexed all of Duval County, so Duval County is Jacksonville, but in actuality, Altamira is the largest landmass city in the world where Pastor Daniel is. Population's not that large, but just pray for that ministry and for him and his outreach there. And again, look forward to next Sunday. We're going to have an exciting day, and Jesus is going to be glorified. God bless you. Oh, and there's still some shirts available in the lobby, $10 each, 3 for $25. The shirts that say, you know, I stand for the flag, I kneel for the cross, and a great witnessing tool. God bless. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2-5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stuart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hi, my name is Dara Pearson. I've been a member of First Baptist Stuart for 30 years. My husband and I have 3 grown children. Our family has had the privilege of serving the Lord here at First Baptist Stuart for many years. Currently, one of the ministries that I've been serving the Lord in is the MOPS program, which is Moms of Preschoolers, and Moms Next, which is Moms of Elementary Age Children. This program is perfect for moms of young children to come and gather together with other moms. During this time together, these mothers find support, guidance, and fellowship. We meet on selected Wednesdays once a month at First Baptist Stuart from 6 o'clock to 7:15. Child care is provided with activities during Wednesday night programs, such as Awana. We have a time of discussion about parenting children from a godly view, a fun craft, and snack. If you are a mom of young children, please come join us. Search for Stuart Mops on Facebook. We'd love to see you.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve First Baptist Church of Stuart through our outreach ministries. Outreach is about saving lives for eternity. It is our way of our church family to get involved and to serve our community outside the walls of our church. Some examples of our ministries are, one, at Thanksgiving, we have a Feast of Plenty, which serves our community as we provide a free Thanksgiving meal. Our members share a meal and fellowship with the community. And at Christmas time, it is celebrated to remember the birth of Jesus Christ through a musical performed by our choir, and it's open to the community. Well, during Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with our community through the Easter Fair. We share the love of Jesus Christ through worship and games and food and through fellowship. We are currently raising money to build a community athletic facility, which will serve the church, the community, and our school to continue to reach the people for Christ. And throughout the year, we participate in golf and fishing and hunting tournaments, women's conferences, men and women's Bible studies, and mothers of preschoolers called MOPs. The goal of our ministry is to reach people to come and love Jesus and their Lord Savior and encourage them to join the family of God. Won't you come and meet our family?
Hello, I'm Nick Bennett, pastor to senior adults here at the First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. Our ministry is based on 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our ministry presents monthly covered dish lunches for our seniors at 12 noon on the second Tuesday of each month, seasonal one-day trips to historic sites and events in Florida, evangelism opportunities through our nursing home ministry featuring our good news singers, terrific Thursdays in the month of June, renewing body, soul, and spirit, volunteer outreach to our community through our citywide Easter Fair and November Feast of Plenty, and every Sunday, Bible study at 9 a.m. and worship at 10:15, and then on Wednesday evening, prayer and worship at 6 o'clock p.m. For more information, call First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida at 772-287-7422.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.